We're going to talk this evening about walking in the Spirit. And we'll look at that a little bit. Galatians 5. Notice what he says there in verse 13 for... that's chapter 6. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, since ye cannot do the things that ye would. We'll continue there in a minute. We're thinking about tonight walking in the Spirit. And some of you like to walk. How many like to walk? A few of you walk daily, and boy, that's a good thing. And good exercise. And the word used here is action-oriented. We're walking in the Spirit daily. There's a great number of verses throughout Scripture dealing with our walk of faith, our walk in the Spirit. Just a few I'll read here, you know, but Romans 6:4 reminds us we're to walk in newness of life. He says, we therefore are buried with him by baptism into death, that likewise as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. And I've had a pastor once that would say that as he baptized individuals. He'd say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. I kind of like that. And we're to be walking in newness of life daily and living for him, obviously, but walking in a newness. So many folks are struggling today with the question of, am I truly saved? Can I know that? And there's one indicator. Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking with him and serving him in that regard? Number two, we're to walk honestly. Romans 13, he says, let us walk honestly, not as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, envy. There's an honest walk, honesty about us. One of the distinguishing marks of a Christian, you know, is honesty, integrity, right? So thinking through that, we're to walk in God's good works. We're his workmanship. Obviously, Ephesians 2, we're to walk honestly, walk in good works. We're to walk worthy of our vocation. Our calling. You and I have a vocation. That word we don't use much anymore, but vocation is not a vacation. It's actually the opposite. You have a vocation. That's your job. Vacation is what you do when you're not at work. And you set aside time for that. But our vocation, every one of us has a vocation as a child of God to serve him properly, clearly, diligently. And serving God, walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is not there to just pat us on the back, pamper us. Tell us everything's going to be okay. No, the Spirit's there to help us, as we looked at a little bit last week, the week before. That we walk out of our comfort zone, the Comforter comes and comforts us and helps us. We're to walk in love, Ephesians 5. We're to walk as children of light. We're to walk circumspectly. We went through that looking. We have a view of our lives, what's going on around us. We're to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk in Christ. Walk in wisdom. Walk in truth. Many of these... we see throughout Scripture, I won't belabor those points, but we're to walk in these areas. But we are tonight, I want to concentrate on this, walking in the Spirit. It's a simple command, simple. Walking in the Spirit, commanded to walk. This is a command, it's an immediately, and is immediately understood. It involves a choice on our part. He says, walk in the Spirit. There's two choices here, walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. You know that. Every day we have an opportunity. We have a choice to make. Are we going to walk in the Spirit? We're going to walk in the flesh. It's hard to do so often, isn't it? But we must make an effort, and we're not going to do it on hopes and dreams. We're going to do it when we spend time in Scripture, when we focus our lives upon Him and know that. And trust what He's given us to do in obedience. We saw this morning, Peter says, those that reject the Word of God, they do it because of disobedience to the Word. They disobey. They say, I don't believe the Bible. I don't want the Bible. I don't want nothing to do with it. I won't follow it. I won't heed it. All of that. They become disobedient and they reject the word consequently because of that. We have been called to liberty. We know that. God will enable us to do it. Otherwise, he would not require it. Another principle here we need to understand. When God requires something from us or of us, with that requirement or that command comes God's enabling. Right? You wouldn't ask somebody to do something you know they can't do. You know, sometimes maybe you've done that, or a boss or an employee has asked you to do something. You can't do it. You know, you're not going to ask your 5-foot child to play against a 6-foot-5 individual. It's not going to last long. And you know that. But thinking through, God is enabling us and will enable us to do what He's requiring us to do. Very clear. We've been called to liberty. Jesus Christ has set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan. We do not have to serve sin any longer. We walk now in the Spirit. This is what Paul's reminding the church. And there was a group of churches in this region. It was like a county. Galatia was a type of a county, if you will. It was a region of the Roman Empire. And Galatia, there was a group of churches there that were struggling. They were wondering what was going on. And you know, in the beginning, Paul says there's sin in the church. There's problems in the church. You need to handle that and take care of it. But they were confused doctrinally as well. And he's reminding them, and he says, you have liberty in Christ, but that liberty is not for you to live your own way. It's now to serve Him. It's now to follow Christ. It's now to walk in a peculiar way we saw this morning. The promise. We can walk in the Spirit. The promise that accompanies this command is that when we choose to walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now notice that. When you choose to take a step forward in the Spirit, there's a beautiful thing of God's grace there that comes in. We no longer fulfill the lust of the flesh. You ever find that to be true? When you are walking outside of this Bible, you're not spending time in Scripture, you're not spending time in prayer, you're living in sinful behavior. It's easy to walk in the flesh, isn't it? It's just a thing that draws you like a magnet. But when you are serving God, you don't have a great desire for the things of the flesh. Men will often ask that, how do I remain pure in my thoughts and my demeanor, other things? I'll leave it at that. It comes back to walking in the Spirit. You make a consorted effort to walk in the Spirit. You don't feel like it? Sure. You don't want to? Yeah. But you do it anyways. You make an effort. And you and I need to put forth a little bit of effort into our walk in the Spirit. I'm preaching to myself here. We need to put some effort into it and say, listen, quit being, I won't use the term, quit being a weenie about it and get going. Now, this all sounds very simple. All I have to do is make the choice to walk in the Spirit and to do it, and I will not be falling into sin, feeling miserable because of it. But we think it sometimes isn't just that simple. It is not always easy to make the decision and then maintain that decision. I've made decisions before and then tried to stick with it. It's hard to do. I remember when I was younger in elementary school, and I decided I was going to join the soccer team. And I joined the soccer team, and my mom and dad said, are you sure you want to join? It's a commitment. You got to stay with it. I said, oh, yeah, all my friends are doing it. And sure enough, practice came, and I liked practice. That was fun. But then they had another practice next week. We had to practice every week, and I'm going, what's the point of this? And you know what we do? We just run around the field. Okay, let's run. Let's go. Come on. Just make us run around, you know, kicking the ball around. It was so miserable. And halfway through, I wanted to quit. I said, Mom, can I quit? She said, no. I said, please, I don't want to go to practice today. She said, you're going to stick with it. And you think about it. I've made decisions. You've made decisions. We want to quit. You may have much deeper decisions, much more important decisions, but you must stick with it. We make a decision to walk in Spirit. Even though we don't feel good, even though we don't want to do it, even though it's hard and irritating and frustrating, you ever walk and make a decision to walk in the Spirit and do what's right, and it only seems to blow up in your face, doesn't it? That's a good thing sometimes, because we know the Spirit and the adversary are at work. We know there's a spiritual warfare. Now, let me just say a few things here tonight as we walk in the flesh. Number one, to do so, we must identify the flesh. What does it mean? Now, the Greek word here, flesh, Paul uses 93 times in his epistles. It's translated flesh, fleshly, or carnal. It has different applications, obviously, with the Greek language, but the context determines which one to apply. And we see that throughout Scripture. There is an aspect of the flesh, quote unquote, we are no longer in. Now, Romans 8, let me turn there if you want to go there with me. Romans 8. We went there briefly this morning, but thinking about Romans 8, Paul is speaking. Oh, let's start in verse 1. In Romans 8, 1, there is therefore, notice now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're in the flesh, you can't please Him. You walk in the flesh, think in the flesh, speak in the flesh, you're not pleasing Him. So there's an aspect of the flesh we're no longer in. The believer walks after the Spirit. The lost person walks after the flesh. The conclusion is that those who are still in the flesh cannot please God. Very clear. A great verse to memorize. Verse 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's very clear. And every time you have a decision to make in your life and you think, well, will this fulfill the flesh or will this fulfill the Spirit? Am I getting this money, or am I going to make this decision based on pride because I want something bigger and better? Or should I just be content here or that? And you think about which one is it? When you're pleasing Him, you seek His way. Number two, the believer is no longer in that flesh, clearly. Verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so we see the believer is no longer in that flesh. We're identifying the flesh that Paul is talking about. Number 3, the Holy Spirit is now our source of life. He's our life. He's given us all that we need. An exchange has taken place. The old life is removed. The new life is in place. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Holy Spirit is now the life that energizes our mortal flesh. He's energizing us. He's helping us. He's guiding us and all those things. And again, I'd encourage you to study the Holy Spirit. So we see here. The flesh. There's aspects we're no longer in. The flesh must deal with this mortal body we live in. Again, the old adage. We have to live in this flesh. We have to live in this world. But as soon as we let that world get inside of us, we're going to start sinking. We're going under like the boat. We cannot allow it. And although we live in this mortal body, we must walk in the Spirit. This flesh is very important to us. Often, it is if it's properly maintained, but if it is not, we must be careful. The flesh controls and desires to control every decision we make. It is neutral, being neither righteous nor wicked. Speaking of the body, the body's neutral. We can make it wicked or we can make it spiritual, right? People often, you'll see them, the guys in the Philippines and in Mexico, and other, they go and they whip themselves, you know, and they walk down that long corridor, I can't remember. But they whip themselves. Oh, the flesh is wicked. The flesh is wicked, they say in Spanish. It's not the body. The body's neutral. What we need to understand is that we give ourselves over. Oh, I messed up again. It's this old flesh. No, you need to make a decision not to do that. You need to make a decision to walk in newness of life and understanding that. And it's an instrument. We can use it either for God's glory or we can use it to disobey God. Sin. Romans 6:11, he says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield yourselves your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now again, that word instruments, you know what he's talking about. Your body, your extremities, other things. He says, yielding. The key to that whole context there is the word yield. I yield to God. I step out. You ever had to yield on the highway? I don't like yielding. Yield all the time. But you come and there's a car. If the sign is facing you, you have to yield. And if you don't, then you're going to have an accident or you're going to have a problem on the highway. Someone's going to get mad at you. And that's the whole concept. You're coming your pathway down and you stop. Lord, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I always get ahead. I should say always on the highway. I always get right in front of somebody, and they're just right on me. You know, they just like they want to just jump over me. So I try and speed up, try to get over. And my wife's shaking her head because I got a heavy foot. You know, so you think about though, it's the same concept. You go, oh, wait, I forgot to pray about it. Lord, you go ahead. You yield yourself to Him. And Paul says here, you're yielding your members. God, I'd like to do that. I'd like to buy that. I'd like to go there. I'd like to be a part. But what do you want? I'm yielding myself to you. Take my hands and use these hands. Take my feet, use these feet. Take these eyes and use these eyes for your honor, for your glory. Understanding all of that. Now, it is weak when it comes to temptations. We know that. Now, this is why Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus said that to the apostles. The spirit is willing. Yes, I want to do good. And yes, I don't want to mess up tomorrow. Yes, I want to raise the children right. And yes, we want to have this. And yes, we want to serve Christ. But the flesh is weak. We must be careful. It will fail if we are not careful. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. If you can yield yourself to sin, you can yield yourself to Christ. It's not rocket science. It's not hard to do. If I can yield it over to that, the things that we did before we were saved, the things that I did before I was right with God and got saved, and the miraculous work He did in my life, the things I yielded myself over to that were actually difficult. I mean, do you know how long it takes to get addicted to certain substances, right? Certain things take you a long time. It makes you sick. In particular, I won't go through that, but tobacco use. You get sick before you get addicted to it. You force yourself. I had friends that did that. You know, they thought it was fun to do that and cool to do that. And it would make them, you think about just yielding yourself to those things to why? So you could fit in, so you can be cool, so you can make it. We think about today we can yield ourselves. It's a subject to external enticements from the world. Galatians, as he goes through the chapter 5 of Galatians again. And James puts it, James 1:14, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, bring forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. These are characteristics of one who is not saved. This can bring early death to the believer. And these can keep the believer from enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the flesh I'm speaking of. So thinking through this here. Now, secondly, we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've identified what the flesh is and what the flesh can do and what we're supposed to do with that flesh. But secondly, we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and become His disciple. Instead of trying to treat the symptoms, let's go directly to the heart of the problem and fix it. I heard of one lady driving her vehicle and the engine light started flashing, beep, 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 beep. Change your oil. You're low on oil. She drove it for a few days, you know, and boy, that thing started getting annoying, that little beeping. And she looked down and it's flashing at her. So she took a piece of electrical black tape and put it over the on her dash there, the little red light. Man, that thing's annoying. She kept driving it and driving it. And all of a sudden her car started making some noises and then just seized up. You know, smoke coming out the engine. She's pulling over. Takes it to the mechanic, obviously says, ma'am, you have about 2 drops of oil in your engine. What'd you do? You burned up the pistons, ruined the rings, threw some rods, all kinds of stuff. You had no oil. She said, oh, that old light, that little light was annoying me. I didn't know what to do. Treating, right there, right? Treating a symptom. Let's go directly to the heart of the problem. So many people today try and treat the symptoms. I don't know what to do. I can't get away from this problem and this sin and this. You need to treat the problem. Go right to it, Romans 13. He says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. People make provision. They go, well, I'm going to leave this door open in case I want to come back to it later. And Paul says, don't make provisions. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Put it aside. We need to be careful in understanding. This is how we begin to truly walk in the Spirit. We surrender ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Spirit to take control, have victory over the flesh. we become true disciples. All who are true disciples are saved, of course, but not all who are saved are true disciples. To be a true disciple, I must give Jesus Christ absolute first place in my life. Excuse me, Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If any man will come to me and hate not his brother, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, in his own life also, cannot be my disciple. Whosoever doth not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. So again, there are many people that are truly saved, but they're not a disciple of Christ. They're not following, living the crucified life, walking according to that. I have many saved friends. I truly believe they're saved. I really do. But they live a life that would not be categorized as a disciple of Christ. I mean, I have cousins and friends that I really believe they're saved. I truly do. But they do not live and walk according to this book. And we see that there are many people out there like that. And people think, well, that's the way to go. That's a much easier way to live and outside of all the regulations, rules of the Bible. No, that's not true. When you live inside of those the bounds of this book, you have much more liberty and freedom, and you can experience the Lord Jesus Christ in greater ways. He has absolute right to control my life. He has absolute right to my life. He has absolute right to do what he wants with my life. Isn't that true? Absolute right. Said this morning that we're bought with a price. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. There's a price tag on your life, and you understand that. When you are paid for, you come and say, God, you have rightful place to me. You can do with me as you see fit for my life. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because you've bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. However, he does not force me to yield everything to him. He allows me to choose. He allows me to choose. Now, that's up to us. We yield to him. But understanding we are bought with a price, discipleship, just a few things here, means that Jesus Christ owns every material thing I possess. It's his. It is not a question of what I'm willing to give to him. Until I recognize that everything I have belongs to him, I'm not a disciple. Everything is his. Everything. God, what do you want? It's all yours anyways. But discipleship means that Jesus Christ has the right to fill my mind with the knowledge and the truth of himself. As long as I let my intellect rule and trust that, I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ. As long as Christ can reveal his will to me and I choose to debate and to decide whether or not I will do it, I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ. There ought to be no debate about it. You know the Spirit's speaking. You know he's leading. It's an immediate thing. And the more we mature in our spirituality, it becomes a quicker and quicker and quicker response time, doesn't it? I know that's the Lord. Let's do it. I know. The mark of an unstable, unspiritual person is that delay. Delay. Do I want to? A true disciple, fourthly, is one who has a love for the person of Christ, confidence in the word of Christ, is completely committed to Christ in service and obedience. And when we walk in the Spirit, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me wrap it up here and go back in Galatians 5. And he brings and lays out for us this wonderful chapter of the fruits of the Spirit. And these fruits, obviously, of the flesh, we know. These things that the world lives in, we should not have anything to do with. But we're walking in the Spirit. Again, he says, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The affections, the desires we have. It's one thing to do that thing, but it's another thing just to have the affection of it. Paul says, get rid of even the affections. Get rid of even that feeling. Get rid of even those things that, man, that does look good. So we're to walk in the Spirit. These nine fruits, very interesting. Understanding it. As we go through, we're provoking others as well to doing right. to walking in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, we put the Lord Jesus Christ first. We put Him on. We stop making provisions for the flesh. We stop allowing the flesh to control our decisions. We stop fulfilling the lusts. We find ourselves filled with the joy of the Lord and realize that life is more enjoyable than we believe possible. We believe possible. You're inside of the will of God. You're walking in the Spirit. You're producing the fruit that you're supposed to. You know that the joy and fulfillment that comes with that, right? All of those things. And we'll see here, hopefully, again, as we continue next week, of walking in that Spirit. Are you yielding yourself tonight to what God has for you? Are you following along? Are you identifying the flesh? What it means. There's areas in my life, and maybe in yours as well. There's certain areas of our flesh that we need to maybe take control of. And say, you know what? I did overreact. You know what I did? I was quick to react there. You know what? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't have gone there. As we think about these things. Now, walking in the Spirit. We'll cover some of the fruit next week a little bit more. But seeing these things can be easily produced in our lives. They're not difficult to do. People say, well, those are so hard to do. Those fruits are so hard to produce. They're not. When you're in the right soil and you have the right nutrients, you have the sun shining on you, you have the water of the Word of God, and you're in the right soil, the nutrients in that you're drawing in, your roots are strong, founded deep within the Lord Jesus Christ, His promises, His principles, these fruits come naturally. And the fruit is always indicative of the root system. Are your roots strong? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you walking in the Spirit tonight? All right. Lord, we do thank You for the opportunity again here, and we ask that You'd help us. Lord, those that couldn't be here tonight, we do pray for them. There's people all around us that are hurting, that are going through difficult seasons. There's people tonight that don't know where to turn. They don't know You as their Savior. They're looking for something more, Lord, but they don't know what it is. They've tried everything else in this world, and nothing brings eternal peace and happiness and that true fulfillment. I pray, Father, You would help us if You'd put them in our pathway. We'd be able to share the gospel with those people. And Lord, help us as we reach our circle of influence throughout this week. Give us strength as we reach our community and be a lighthouse to it. And help us as believers, Lord. We may be few in number, Lord, but we're mighty in power. We can walk in the Spirit of Almighty God. We can do what we're supposed to do. Strengthen us as believers this week to yield ourselves to You, not to the flesh. It's time for us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to be mature. We're running out of time in our lives. Help us, God, to do what's right. Help us to be filled with the Spirit. Make a true effort to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. How we love You and thank You. In Jesus' precious name again we pray. Amen.